And Steve, I'm going to skip those child support and well, actually, let me go back one slide. I apologize. We skip the child support. The answer is most likely no, but it's an interesting question. And you know, in the interest of time, I don't really want to get into it. But it's interesting. This case here, the Kings County case. I just want to bring it to light. Not quite sure it would work under the new regs. However, the utilization of ABLE accounts and structuring a settlement, for example, which is what happened in this case, is coming to light. And so generally, you know, I think across the country, more people are knowing or becoming familiar with and learning more about ABLE accounts and using them in sort of creative ways. With that, I'll turn it over to you, Steve.
Okay, so let's move on to something. I do want to make a slight correction or whatever. The $100,000 thing for folks that are on SSI, what happens if you go over $100,000 is that your SSI goes into suspension. And so long as you haven't broken any other resource rules or that kind of thing, then once it dropped below $100,000, then once again, you don't have to reapply. For those of us who do a lot of benefits work, that's something you should really spend some time going over because it's commonly misunderstood. Although I will mention, and I think I'm supposed to cover this in another slide, a lot of times by the time they hit $100,000, if they're developmentally disabled, they're probably going to be on qualified disability, or they're probably going to be on their parents' program anyway. So you really have to look to the situation. I don't know about Texas, but in California, I would say housing is the biggest issue we deal with. That's why we ship so many people to Texas and drive up your property taxes. And thank you very much for taking them. Let's go back to this. You know, housing is a big issue for everybody. And so when we're talking about qualified disability expenses, once again, this will illustrate how this is not like how Social Security works. The Department of Treasury is a little bit looser here, is that as far as listed qualified disability expenses, this is the list here, which includes housing, which I'm going to cover quite a bit. And housing is a huge issue. And this is where, especially for folks on SSI, this is a godsend. And so there's been this list we've been memorizing all the time, trying to figure out, you know, what is a qualified disability expense and what isn't? Okay. Now, I monitor a lot of what's going on with this. And there was some dictum in one of the IRS publications that, hey, a qualified disability expense is a basic living expense that includes education, housing, da, 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 da. Well, the ABLE National Resource Center said, we really like that. We're going to lead off with qualified disability expense is any basic living expense, including, I mean, that's not what the law says here, but that's what they said. And lo and behold, it has been adopted. What is not a basic living expense? And, you know, it's been hard to really pin that down. I think most people are looking at making gifts or gambling. Okay. Since we're not in Nevada here, I mean, it really isn't even defined. And here's the other thing you have to keep in mind. In order for this to be found, because Social Security, with very few exceptions, is not going to monitor what you're using this for. So in order for somebody to get the penalty, they would have to be audited by the IRS. And how many people on SSI are audited by the IRS? A whole lot. And you'd have to have a reviewer who really understands this stuff. And, you know, as Pete and I were talking today, the chance of this happening is greater than zero. But I don't think we've seen one yet. As far as that, and I think this is something that we're all missing, and this is having these numbers from TrueLink Financial here. I mean, these are the first times we've ever been able to see and have at least an approximation of what these things are used for here. But once again, we can see that qualified disability expenses here that they're used a lot for food and that sort of thing, but really we're not really using it for rent as much as one would like. This is a time to really kind of go through, well, why is it for ISM, for food and shelter? Why is it that it's not counted? And here's why, is that the ABLE account, and this is a really important concept, the ABLE account is owned by the benefits recipient, period. Okay. And actually, I was privileged to be on a call with Social Security when this first came out, because we figured that Social Security was going to be all over this here. And I and another advocate got a chance to really talk to them. And we kind of said, well, you know, there's this silly prompts that that has an example of somebody who inherited $30,000 and used it to prepay their ISM for a number of years. And the reason that it wasn't a reduction is they paid for their own ISM with their own money. Well, if you take the money, whether it comes from a family member or it comes from a trust, and you put it into the ABLE account, it instantly becomes